How is a congregation supposed to deal with sin in the church? That's the issue, that is the question that we're looking at. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, we actually have a Bible example of the Apostle Paul telling a congregation how to deal with this problem. We're going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5 again in this lesson. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, in verse 1, we find out what the sin was. It was the sin of fornication. Now, this was not gossip. It was not just some kind of rumor. It was a fact that one of the men at the church at Corinth was living with his stepmother. So the sin of fornication was in the church at Corinth. Now, what did Paul tell these people to do about this? Well, the Bible says in verse 4 that he told them by the authority of Jesus Christ when they were gathered together. Then in verse 5, to deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh. Now, what does it mean to deliver this person to Satan? Well, he explains that as he continues down through this passage. The Bible tells us that delivering this person to Satan means to not have company with that individual. In verse 9, Paul said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. So the delivering of this sinner to Satan simply means that the church at Corinth, the members of the church at Corinth, were not to have company, they were not to associate with this man like they had before. Now, what's the purpose of this commandment, which is sometimes called the forgotten commandment? Why would Paul give such a severe measure? Well, because sin is serious. I believe one of the reasons why that people resist teaching on this subject today is because they do not admit, they do not recognize how serious sin is in the sight of God. They're really a lot like these people at Corinth. The church at Corinth didn't take this matter seriously. As a matter of fact, Paul said that they were puffed up in their thinking instead of being sorry and ashamed that they had one of their members committing this sin. So it didn't bother them. It should have been an embarrassment. But it did not bother them, and that's why Paul writes these words. So the Bible tells us that what's taking place here is for the good of the church. The reason that this measure is taken is given in verse 5. Paul said the reason that you cut off your association with this person is so that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Because this man is in sin, he's going to lose his soul if he continues in that sin. You see, the Bible doesn't teach once saved, always saved. Otherwise, there wouldn't be any reason for Paul to say what he does here. Paul said that you need to deliver him to Satan so that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Well, if he's going to be saved anyway, then why would Paul say this? If he's going to be saved regardless, then why would Paul say to take this measure in order to save this man's soul? That wouldn't fit. It wouldn't make any sense. But the idea here, of course, is that this man is in sin, and if he continues in that sin without repenting, he is going to go to hell. He is going to lose his soul. So to wake him up, to get his attention, because he's not listening to words, he's not listening to what he's been taught, he's stubborn and he is a rebellious backslider, Paul says you withdraw from that individual. And notice that he also says that a secondary reason for withdrawing from sinners like this in the church is to keep them from affecting other members of the church. And that will happen. That's the illustration that he gives here of a little leaven leavening the whole lump. Sometimes people say that one bad apple spoils the whole bushel of apples. Well, the illustration that Paul is giving here is even more powerful because Paul says that all it takes is just a little leaven, a little yeast, and it's going to leaven all that dough. Well, the point is that if you let this man get by with this, if you sit back and don't do anything about this sinner in your church, then that's going to encourage other members to do the same thing. And even if they don't commit the same sin that he's guilty of, they may commit some other sin. Their whole spiritual life is going to be affected by this. And so when you allow sin to continue in a congregation, And it's not even corrected from the pulpit. The elders don't even address it. And certainly, this stage of withdrawal of fellowship does not take place. That is going to weaken the entire congregation. And it is going to encourage sin in other members. That's just the nature of things. And so Paul said, you need to do something about this, and you need to take care of it right away. Now, the interesting thing about the church at Corinth is that they had other problems there, and they were guilty of other sins. There was jealousy. There was division in the congregation. They were showing out and being disruptive in the worship services. They held to some false ideas. But Paul says this is a problem that is so serious in 1 Corinthians 5 that it cannot wait. You go ahead and you take care of this immediately. In other words, he used instructive discipline when he addressed those other problems, but now he's using more of a punitive kind of approach. And he does say in the book of 2 Corinthians that this was a form of punishment that was administered by the church there. But let's go down to what he says in verse 9 in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, because here he said, I wrote unto you in an epistle not to company with fornicators. But Paul explains in verse 10 that they evidently had misunderstood what he said. He said, yet not altogether with the fornicators of this world, or with the covetous, or with extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. You cannot avoid contact with all these people. You cannot avoid associating with all the sinners in the world, because the only way to do that would be to leave this world. So Paul said, I'm not talking about cutting off your association with people outside the church. I'm talking about dealing with people inside the church. Verse 11. But now I have written unto you not to keep company. If any man that is called a brother be a fornicator, or covetous, or an idolater, or a railer, or a drunkard, or an extortioner, with such an one, no, not to eat. Paul said, I'm talking about a brother. If any man that is called a brother, that is a Christian person, if that Christian person is a fornicator, or is covetous, or he's guilty of idolatry, or he's a railer, he's a reviler, or a drunk, or an extortioner, the Bible says here's how you deal with that sinner in the church. Somebody says, well, we're all sinners, aren't we? Yes, but there are some sins that need to be dealt with more severely. And what we find in the church at Corinth is that there were people there that were guilty of all kinds of sins, but Paul said this one does stand out, and this one needs to be dealt with on a more severe level. And he says, with such a one, no, not to eat. You're not to eat a common meal with that person. Because in eating a common meal with this person, you give him the idea that everything is all right. You give him the impression that his life is fine. And so to bring it to his attention, to make a point to him, Paul says that you deliver him to Satan, that you have no company with him, and that you're not to eat with that individual. Now again, our modern society looks at this as being something that's almost harsh and cruel, and yet God, the one who loves us more than we love ourselves, the one who gave his only begotten son to die for us, the one who gives us every bite of food that we have to eat and gives us all good things, the God who is perfect in love is the one who says to do this. So anytime that people say, well, that's the most unloving thing that I've ever heard of, does not understand what love is. Love, in man's thinking, is letting people do anything they want to do, as long as it makes them happy. But love, in God's thinking, means following God's word and following God's will. And love, according to God, does not exclude punishment. The Bible says in Revelation 3, verse 19, that Jesus told the church at Laodicea, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. That's Revelation 3, verse 19. So Jesus said that he shows his love not just in giving us good things that make us happy, but also in correcting us, in chastening us, and rebuking us. Well, our society today says if you rebuke a man or you discipline a man, that means you don't love him. That shows how far off people are from the Bible and how far off our society has drifted from the teaching of God's Word. In Hebrews 12, 5 through 11, the Bible says that as many as God loves, He chastens or disciplines. And in John 14, verse 15, the Bible says, if you love me, keep my commandments. So the charge that this is unloving teaching just ignores what love really is according to the Bible. Now notice in verse 12 that the Bible says, for what have I to do to judge them that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without God judges. Therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So the Bible describes for us again in verse 13 what this measure consists of. And that is, it includes putting away from among yourselves that wicked person. Instead of slapping this person on the back and making him think that he's all right, instead of butting up with him and making him think that he is all right with God while he's living in sin that's going to send him to hell, you pull back from that person. You withdraw from that person so that that individual will be caused to think about his soul and where he's headed. Now, one of the things that people say about this is, well, that won't work. All you're going to do is drive that person away and he'll never want anything to do with the church again. Why, that's the most ridiculous kind of thing that I've ever heard of. Well, in the first place, a person that says that is really blaspheming and speaking evil of the Bible. Because the Bible that we're reading from here is God's Word, and God is the one who said to do this. Human beings didn't invent this. God is the one who came up with this, and God is the one who commands it. So anybody that criticizes this, anybody that puts this down, is speaking against God and is rebelling against God. But in the second place, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 2, what you'll find is that it did work. The church at Corinth followed what Paul said. They withdrew from this man. And guess what? He came back to the Lord. He repented of his sins. And if they had continued doing what they had been doing, being puffed up and not paying him any attention, and really acting like that he was all right in spite of the fact that he was in sin, then he would not have turned back to God, at least not at the time and in the way that we're about to read about here. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2, the Bible says that Paul is going back to that first letter that he wrote, and he said that when he wrote those words in 1 Corinthians, where he got on to these Corinthians so many times, he said that he cried. He shed tears. He didn't write those things out of so much anger that he was just trying to get back at these people. He literally cried when he wrote those words in 1 Corinthians. But he says in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 5, but if any have caused grief, he has not grieved me, but in part, that I may not overcharge you all. Sufficient to such a man is this punishment which was inflicted of many. What's he talking about? He's talking about that man in 1 Corinthians 5, that man in the church at Corinth that was guilty of the sin of fornication. And he implies here in 2 Corinthians 2 that that man did repent. Because in verse 7 he says, so that you contrarywise ought rather to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one should be swallowed up with overmuch sorrow. So he says, you need to, in verse 8, confirm your love toward him. So the man has repented. Paul is not telling these people to welcome this man back while he's still in sin. That would go against everything that he wrote. But what we do find is, in verse 9, that he said, for to this end also did I write, that I might know the proof of you, whether you be obedient in all things. And this teaching that we're talking about that Paul gave in 1 Corinthians 5 is proof, that is, it is a test of whether we're going to be obedient to what God has said in this matter. Now, in the next lesson, we're going to look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, where Paul also talks about the subject of church discipline.